Sitting down, or if you did not move while that song was going on, you might want to take a check just to make sure that your pulse is working. That's a fantastic song. We want to remember just what the Lord has done in our lives. Such a great reminder to start off the worship service this morning. What has the Lord done in your life and in my life? And are we thankful for that? And do we give praise to God for that? The Lord has done mighty things in each one of our lives. Today is a very special day, and I should have worn my red shirt today, because this is a special, special day. This is Valentine's Day. And we've got the unique opportunity of coming to you live today, not via a live audience, but via a virtual audience, which is very much alive. And so we are thankful that we can be here and interact with you on this Valentine's Day. It's a day where we celebrate love, where we celebrate appreciation for those that are dear to us in our lives. And we think about our spouses, we think about our relatives, our families, our friends, our children, all the people that are so important to us. And on this day, may we pause and remember just how important love is. But may we also not forget how important God's love is to us. We're going to talk about that in the children's story today and really get into the meaning of Valentine's, and also God's love for us, because God has given us a very, very special Valentine. And that Valentine is the source of all the changes that were talked about in that song. Because if the Lord gets a hold of you, He'll change you. He'll change you for the better and for the good. Now, this week, on Wednesday, we will celebrate Ash Wednesday. And we'll also be entering the season of Lent. And so you will find on the website that there are readings that have been posted so that we can follow the life of Christ from the time of Ash Wednesday until Easter Sunday. And you know, Ash Wednesday, many of you remember these, have been to the various services where you may have the ashes used and a cross placed upon your forehead. You know, it's during this period of time that we think about sacrifices. We think about the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made. He loved us enough that He would die for us. He gave His life for us. And oh, what a Savior He is. We also think of this period of time to where we may draw closer to God. And so through the various different readings, we're zeroing in on the Gospel of Mark. And this is on purpose. Since January, we've been working with Peter's letters. And last week, we finished the second letter. And we were talking about being Christ-like and the characteristics of being Christ-like. This letter, the first one, which we're going to start today, gets more into suffering and persecution. But these are Peter's remembrances and his ministry about Jesus and his ministry, which he shares in these letters. So these are going to be very, very important. And that's why we chose the Gospel of Mark for the readings for Lent this year. You see, Mark based his gospel story on the memories and experiences that Peter shared. It's a memoir based on Peter. And so we're continuing from the very beginning of the year through Easter, being ministered by Peter. Look at it that way. Being ministered by the Apostle Peter and what he remembered about his encounters with his Lord. And that for us is the meaning of this Easter season that we're now getting ready to enter into. Now, we're also going to post on the website the various different weeks of study for 1 Peter. And we're going to title this series, Navigating Suffering and Persecution in Our Daily Lives. Navigating is the key word because it takes as a fact that we will experience suffering, that we will experience persecution. These are real events. These are real experiences. And how are we equipped to face these experiences? And that's what we really want to zero in on as we look at these experiences that Peter and the lessons that Peter is going to share with us. So today we're going to talk about Jesus Christ as our living hope. See, this is the resurrected Lord. The resurrected Lord is the living hope, and it is a gift which has been given to us to encourage us. So that will be grounded in 1 Peter, the first chapter. Next week, we'll go to the second part of that chapter and take a look at what does it mean to be called to holy living? Or another way of putting it, what is your life really like when you're born again? When God reaches in and you understand that life is no longer just about you and what you want, and what you desire. But it's about glorifying Him in everything that you do. You realize that the focus is on bringing glory to God's name. Because God will take care of you. God has a plan for your life. And God will deliver on that plan. So how have you been reborn? And what is that life of rebirth like? I can assure you, it gives you more strength to face suffering and persecution. All of us need an anchor in our life. And so in that third message, we're going to be talking about Jesus as the cornerstone of our lives, the foundation stone, grounded in Jesus' unconditional love, being willing to pick up our cross and follow Him, just as He asked those original followers 2,000 years ago. We're still asked the same thing today. Will you pick up your cross? And will you follow the Master who knows the way and can lead us to the safety that we so desire? Are we willing to suffer in doing the right thing? That's a hard one, isn't it? That'll get us into the third chapter of 1 Peter. You know, sometimes doing the right thing may cost you something. Are we willing to do it? And I think back. If Jesus could lay down His life for us, I think we can be willing to consider those costs and do what is right. Do what honors God. What brings glory to God. And that gets us into the fourth chapter, and we've got a recipe for glorifying God. And I like to put it like this. What would happen in our daily life if we would take a teaspoon of prayer and add to it a pinch of love, and then maybe a cup of hospitality, and then a quart of service? If we were to mix all that together, how would our life be? But more importantly, would we be a blessing to those we encounter? You know, sometimes we struggle with that. Sometimes people are glad to see us coming. Other times they don't want to really see us. And we really don't want them to see us either. But that recipe for glorifying God, prayer, love, hospitality, service, that will change the world. That's a guarantee. And then finally, being humble before God. God does humble the proud, no doubt about it. And that's in the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. We have those humbling experiences. But it's in these humbling experiences that we want to be steadfast, standing firm in our faith. Because here's the point. If you experience, well, let me back up. Not if. When you experience suffering, and when you experience persecution, will you and I stand firm in the Lord? When we're challenged, when we're tempted to go the other way, will we stand firm in our faith? You see, that's what makes all the difference. So these coming weeks, we're going to navigate suffering and persecution in our daily lives. We're going to also, though, as we celebrate Ash Wednesday and Lent use this as a time to recognize a time of sorrow, but also a time of sacrifice, reflection, and repentance. So in these coming 46 or so days, where do you need to make a U-turn? Where do I need to make a U-turn? Where do you need to set things right with the Lord? Don't hesitate. Make those changes. And may we collectively work together to be the light of this world. Perfect song on Valentine's Day to be reminded that Jesus loves us. He loves us and He always will. Speaking about happy occasions, we've got two birthdays this week. So on Thursday, we have two birthdays, all the birthdays on one day. So Cheryl Hamlet will be celebrating a birthday. So Cheryl, we wish you a very, very happy birthday. And Drew Massey just got married not too long ago, having his first birthday, sharing it as a family man. So he is definitely having a good birthday. And so we're shout out to Drew as well. We have several prayer concerns this morning that we want to bring to everybody's attention. And to remember these persons and lift them up. And we've started sending out the prayer list so that you can be current on persons that we know about. And please continue to let us know about persons that need to be added. And we want to take that opportunity to be able to pray collectively as a body of believers for each person. You want to remember that on Wednesday of this week, Angela Thomas will be facing some back surgery. So please keep Angela in your prayers, and pray that she can enter into that surgery with a sense of calmness and with peace in that important surgery. Also, we received word that, you know, we've been praying for Ronnie Venable, who is a friend of David Hudson. He passed away recently, so please remember his family at this time. It is a very significant time in all of their lives, and so we lift his family up at this time. Also, we've been asked to remember Reba Caudill. She lives out of state, and she is Wanda Hudson's sister's friend, and she's in ICU and having some lung issues. So lift up Reba Caudill as she is navigating this challenge in her life. Also, continue to remember Robin Luther Wimberly and her family. As you know, she is going through some chemotherapy, and so lift them up, and that we pray that she can experience some success with the treatments, but that also that the family may know the presence of the Lord and feel his presence, especially during this time. Also, continue to remember Frank Goodwin. He had heart surgery recently. He is at home recuperating, and so continue to remember him. Also, Amy Rigsby, Dennis Massey, Hope Marlowe, Gwen Munford, continue to remember them in your prayers. We also want to continue to remember Jimmy Council, Lori and Mike Gentry, Lori's making tremendous strides, and she's had an unbelievable year, 2020, and facing 2020, picking up steam, and so we pray that God will continue to give both of them the strength that they need each and every day, because it is a long and winding road that they are on. And so continue to lift them up. And also remember Juanita and Aubrey Vickers and Ray Insko. A lot of people that we are praying for. And please take the time to pray for each one individually throughout this coming week. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that Jesus Christ, your Son, was sent to us as our Savior. He is the living Word. And as we will see today, He is our living hope. And so, dear Lord, thank you for sending him to us. We also thank you for our daily bread. We have many worries and concerns. Some days we feel very strong, and some days we don't. But you have guaranteed us that we will have our daily bread. Help us to remember that you give it to us daily, just as you gave the Israelites the manna in the desert, our daily bread. You give us not always what we want, but you give us what we need. We are thankful for that, dear Lord, and help us to trust you for it. Dear Lord, we go through many different seasons in our life. Those of us that are a little older, we think back often about childhood. We think back to when we were a teenager, to when we were a young adult. And there are many in our congregation that are young. We have a really, we've been blessed with a significant group of children and young adult parents. And those are interesting years. They're challenging years. And you navigate all types of challenges with young children. And so, dear Lord, we ask you to bless our children and our young parents, that all may draw close to you in these seasons of our life. And as we get in those middle adult years and we're trying to get into that career mode and we're trying to get into our life's calling, dear Lord, may we not let our success draw us away from you, but realize that any success that we may have is because of you. And as we get in our older years, dear Lord, help us to remain steadfast. Help us to accept that wisdom which you impart to us. Help us to know that you have been merciful, that you have been gracious, and that you have continued to love us unconditionally. Dear Lord, we're so thankful that we can worship here freely today. We're not being persecuted today. But we know in certain parts of the world, you cannot openly speak about Jesus Christ. You cannot openly meet. And so for those persons that are meeting in secret, keep them safe, dear Lord, and strengthen them and help them to have the courage to continue to meet together. And dear Lord, for us as a church, although we cannot gather face to face, we can gather virtually and we can still meet. Strengthen us. Help us to be your church. Help us to proclaim the good news that the world so desperately needs. Dear Lord, for each person that has been mentioned today, we place them on your throne of grace. And we talk about this often, but it's important that we acknowledge the concerns, that we put them in your hands, on your throne, because you are the great physician. You are gracious and merciful and loving and steadfast. Dear Lord, may each person that we have mentioned today feel your presence. Know that you are there in their lives. And may you strengthen body, spirit, mind, and soul of each person. And then, dear Lord, we also want to remember and ask for strength for a ministry that may be struggling right now. You may have heard this week of some of the things that had happened in the Ravi Zacharias ministry. Ravi Zacharias has discovered there were some improprieties. We pray for those that have experienced things they should not have experienced. We pray for his family when events become so public. We pray for strength. And dear Lord, we pray for those that are continuing the ministry. For there are many persons that are sharing the good news. And that ministry is to be commended for being so transparent with the findings that they have. And dear Lord, we ask that you help them rebuild, that you help them find ways that they can still further the ministry of the gospel. So we ask for healing for those that need the healing.
And we ask for strength for those that are moving forward, and all are moving forward. But may that ministry find strength and venues that you will open up to continue a good work. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know that there are some little ones around today that are very, very excited. In fact, I had the opportunity of seeing a couple of them this morning before I left. And I know that there are some that are very excited about today. So what is today? Let me give you just a little bit of a hint. I don't really think I have to give you much of a hint. But does that help? Yeah, you know what that is. You know exactly what that is. Today is Valentine's Day. And you know, some of you may have gotten something like this. A Valentine's card. And this one says, "Thank you for being my friend." And there's two bananas that are there. "Thank you for being my friend." Now, you may have received some Valentine's cards this week. And you may have given some Valentine's cards. And some of you are getting to the point where you can start to write your name and make some letters and mark on your card. That's a great thing, isn't it? So we love Valentine's Day. Also, you may have not just given a card, but you may have put a little something inside the card, like a gummy worm or something like that, or some candy or things like that. And so we like Valentine's Day. But you know, Valentine's Day has been celebrated for a long, long time. And actually, the tradition goes back to a pastor who was named Valentine. And he lived in the 3rd century. So that's like 1800 years ago. That's a long time. Remember, we talked about 1,000 years last week. Well, this is more than 1,000 years. But Valentine was found out that there were many of the soldiers that were in the Roman army that wanted to get married. They had found the love of their life, and they wanted to get married. And there was the emperor had said that soldiers couldn't get married. But Valentine understood the power of love, and so he married them. And so we remember Valentine because of the love that he had. And so that's part of the tradition behind Valentine's Day. But I want to tell you something else that's important. You've given Valentine's today, or you will. And you'll enjoy the day. It's a happy day. But I also want to remind you of something very, very important. You have received a Valentine from God. And I want to read you one verse from the Bible, and then we'll come back to this picture. In John 3:16, we have probably the most famous verse in the Bible. And this is one that we hope each one of you will memorize and will remember this verse and let it follow you all the days of your life. And so here it is. "For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son." Now, who's He talking about? Yeah, He's talking about Jesus. And you know, just a little while ago, if you were listening to the bigger service, you may have heard "Jesus Loves Me." And you've sung "Jesus Loves Me" here at the church. And this is the basis for that song. God gave His Son because of His love. And Jesus also loves us. Why did He give His Son? So that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. So while you're getting a lot of Valentines today, you want to remember to love your parents, to love your caregivers, to love your family, to love your friends, to love each other. In fact, that's something that not just you as the children can do, but it would be great if we as adults could remember to love God with all our, what, heart. To love our neighbors and to love each other as Jesus loved us. And so I want you to remember a name today, in addition to this heart. John, that's one of Jesus' disciples. That's one of the Gospels in the Bible. It's one of the books that tells us about Jesus. And then I want you to remember these two numbers, 3 and 16. Let's think about that, the number. 3, you can do that. Now, 16, I'd have to do my hands and my toes to get that. And I got my shoes on, so I don't think it would work. But 16 is a lot, isn't it? But I want you to remember John 3, 16. Why? That's the verse that tells you Jesus loves you, and He loves me, and He loves everybody. Have a great Valentine's Day, and we will see you next week. Thank you.
That song captures what Peter is trying to convey to us today. Jesus Christ is our living hope. God is always present in our times of need and also when we're not even thinking about Him. God is always present. You see, we live in a time between the first and the second coming of Jesus Christ. We talked about that as we concluded 2 Peter last week. You know, in that period in between, we're told in the Scriptures that there will be false messiahs. There will be those that will come claiming to be Christ or claiming that there are other ways for salvation. There will be wars and there will be rumors of wars. And we have military buildup all throughout our world today. Famines and earthquakes and climate change, all of those were talked about. Persons will be persecuted and will die. That has happened since Christianity first was birthed. Lawlessness, lovelessness. You know, we're good about putting things that we want people to do on a sign. But it's something very different to put it in your heart and to live it and to be that love. In a time of lovelessness and lawlessness. Many lose their faith in times of trial and struggle. So those are the times that we're living in. And so Peter's words are quite appropriate and quite meaningful for us. And here's something that I want to share with you as we get ready to move into Peter's passage. Even though we suffer, God is still in control. Even though we suffer, God is still in control. Three stories: Job, Paul, and Peter. You know the story of Job, many of you. But if you don't, Job lost his livestock, his servants, his children. He faced personal and financial ruin. And he was just asked, why don't you just curse God and die? But he didn't. And I want to share with you a passage that gets at the heart of what Peter's talking about in his first letter. And it also shows you how the Old Testament and the New Testament confirm each other. So join with me in Job chapter 17, verses 11 through 16. My days have slipped by. My plans have been ruined. Even the things dear to my heart, they turn night into day and made light seem near in the face of darkness. If I wait in Sheol as my home, spread out my bed in darkness, and say to corruption, you are my father, and to the maggot, you are my mother or sister, where then is my hope? That's the point of this passage. Where then is my hope? And who can see any hope for me? I hope you'll meditate on those words, that verse, Job 17, 15. Meditate on that this week. Where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? Will it go down to the gates of Sheol? Or will we descend together
into the dust. You see, Job was asking a lot of questions that we may be asking and addressing a lot of things that Peter knew that the Christians in Asia Minor were experiencing, because that's who he wrote the letter to. See, Job's asking this question: what's happened to my life? I no longer know what ends up. My life has been ruined. Everything is confused. Corruption abounds before me. And what is the truth? What can I rely on? Where is my hope? Well, Job knew it was in God, and it was in his steadfastness, in his unconditional, never-ending love, even though he was experiencing all type of pain and suffering. Now let's move to Paul. Paul understood persecution and suffering because he had the experience of being on both sides of persecution and suffering. Being a persecutor and one who was persecuted. But you know that Damascus Road experience, he met Jesus and it upended him. It changed his life completely. And you know, he continued to share the good news. He planted churches. He honored his commitment to share the good news. But you know, he received 39 lashes 5 times. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was stranded at sea. He was robbed and he was opposed. Excuse me. And he was imprisoned. I think it's fair to say that Paul understood pain and suffering. But in all of that, through it all, he never lost faith in Christ. Because he said, I know how to be abased and abound, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Paul understood. So we can learn from Job. We can learn from Paul. Peter, 30-year ministry. It took him from Jerusalem to Rome. Now, I can only imagine what it must have been like for a Galilean fisherman to end up in Rome. It's kind of like a young person from Henderson and a young woman from Lowe's Grove going down to Atlanta the first time and getting stuck on I-85, and all you could see was traffic in all lanes from miles to miles. Interesting experience. But Peter shares with us something very important, because here we've got to remember where Peter starts from. Peter denied Christ 3 times. And Christ later appears to him and says, Peter, feed my sheep. And also told him that his church would be grounded in him. See, God is for us. Jesus loves us unconditionally. And so we know from Peter, he knew what suffering was like as he ministered. That road from Jerusalem to Rome was not easy. And when Peter finally got to Rome, it wasn't easy. There was the persecution of Nero that was taking place at that time. And there are all types of stories of how Christians were persecuted. But Peter, in this very first chapter of this first letter, in chapters, in verses 3 through 12, gives us three things that we want to remember. And here they are. First, we have a future inheritance. So as I read these verses, I want you to think, well, what inheritance have I received? You mean I got an inheritance? Yes, you do. You have a future inheritance. You also have in the present joy. Even in the midst of trials. That's an interesting twist, isn't it? But it's so real. Joy, even in the midst of trials. And then we have, in verses 10 through 12, past revelations that have been fulfilled. Future, inheritance, present joy, past fulfillment of Scripture. So keep that in mind as you hear these verses from the first chapter, verses 3 through 12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance. Now, please pay very close attention to these next few words. You know, people a lot of times get funny when it comes to money and with inheritances and things like that. Let me give you a different way of looking at inheritance. And an inheritance that really matters. And into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you and me. That's a guarantee. It will be there because of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. That is our living hope that we have. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That's why I talked about those things about the time in between the first and the second coming. We have a guarantee. Christ is with us through all of this. We don't have to worry about CPI and all the other types of ways that we can protect our homes. We have the ultimate protection, and that is in Jesus Christ. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have a three-way protection, the three in one. Now, in verses 6 through 9, let's look at the trials. But those trials bring joy. You say, what? That doesn't make any sense. No. Listen carefully to Peter. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, if you heat gold to about 1900 degrees Fahrenheit, it becomes a liquid and the impurities rise to the top. Well, let's look at our trials and our struggles sometimes. You know what I mean when I say things have gotten heated up.
And when things get heated up in your life, you know what that means. But if we ever thought about it, it might be a way that God is trying to work with us to deal with the impurities that are in our own lives, whatever they may be. You see, suffering is a two-edged sword. Trials and tribulations can either refine you and make you, or they can break you. Many people have left the ministry because they could not deal with suffering. They could not deal with why suffering exists, with why evil exists. Job experienced evil. Paul was a perpetrator of evil and then was redeemed. And Peter denied Christ, but yet Christ worked through him. So maybe we should look at our trials as those things that humble us, those things that refine us. And then, as we close this morning, let's look at the last three verses. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired into what time or what circumstances the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. These things have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. You see, Jesus, the birth of the Messiah, and his resurrection, these were foretold in the Old Testament, in the prophets, in the prophecies. They have come to pass. Christ has come. We have the first advent. Christ went to the cross to defeat sin and to defeat death. And Jesus asked us to pick up our crosses and be willing to follow his road, which will at times lead to pain and suffering and persecution. But that we may also pick up our crosses as well. And then we're told we will never be left alone, because we have the gift of God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit. So you see, we have a living hope. We have the opportunity to live a full life. We have been blessed beyond measure. Our inheritance is guaranteed in the resurrected Lord. And he will come again, promised. Our trials serve to strengthen us. We don't always understand them as we're going through them, but they can strengthen us. They don't have to destroy us. And Peter is sharing with us what he knew from the Savior, who had been prophesied in the Old Testament. And he knew about the baptism of the Spirit because he was there at Pentecost. And so when he talks about the Holy Spirit, it is real. God is our living hope. May we face each day with that assurance. So if you want to experience this living hope today, we invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The first step would be to just join with me, if you would, in this prayer, a very simple prayer. Jesus, I confess my sins. I ask for your forgiveness. I know you love me. I know you died on the cross for my sins. And you rose from the grave so that I may have eternal life. Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Amen. We believe that if you have experienced Jesus today, if that prayer has touched you and you've experienced Jesus, that you want to share that good news with others. Let your friends know. Let your family know. Let those you care about know. And also get involved in a local church. Get involved in their ministry. Do ministry together. And allow us to each uplift each other. You know that the Berea Baptist Church is always open to you. Also, if you want to rededicate your life today, if you're going through a season of trial right now, and you want to grab hold and reaffirm that living hope that you have in Christ Jesus, do so today. And may we work together to change the world. So as we enter the mission field today and throughout the rest of this week, we're encouraged by the fact that Jesus, you are our living hope. And because of this, we know that we have a heavenly inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. May God be with us all until we meet again. Try.